The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I'm Ryan Smith and Fergrini. So great to see you. J.J. Redick here to talk some basketball. We've also got Vince Carter, Kmart, Booger McFarland, Chris Canty to talk football. Great show ahead of you this morning. But first, let's say good morning because it is time to get up with a three-point party in Dallas. Did Luka and the Mavericks find the cheat code for beating the Warriors in the playoffs? Plus, Miami, well, they're feeling the heat. A critical game five tonight. And we're going to tell you the one thing from this series that will absolutely blow your mind. And Debo, a no-show for the 49ers. And instead, he's pictured with Dak. Is that a match made in heaven? So much good stuff to get to. But first, let's get to this. The game of the night. Warriors, Mavericks, game four. Doncic looking to stay in it. Steph dancing, looking for the sweep, trying to break out the brooms. But Luka would think otherwise. First quarter, Mavs up three. Luka pulling up from deep, buries the three. Mavs up by four after one. Start of the second, Doncic on the bench. But JJ, the supporting cast really took over.
We've seen this time and time again throughout the playoffs. When their supporting cast plays well, when they shoot the ball well, the Mavs have a chance to beat anyone in basketball. And last night, the supporting cast was terrific.
15-2 run with Doncic on the bench. And then when he came back, he was attacking and finishing. There he is at the rim. Mavs up 15 at the break. The third quarter got interesting. You know why? Because there was a rain delay in a basketball game. Leaky roof, 16-minute delay. Luka and Steph watching it. And guess who else was watching and fuming? Mark Cuban saying, oh, this is embarrassing. You know what's embarrassing? This, Luka on Clay, spinning and scoring. And now Cuban's happy. How about that? 7 minutes to go in the quarter, 22-point game. Luka dancing and dealing over Steph Curry with the three. He was really doing it all in this one.
Yeah, they have showed a lot this series with Steph Curry when they use him in screening action. Mm-hmm. Last night, they switched a bunch.
They won by 10, and Luka, you know, he believes.
I mean, I still believe we can win, you know. So, swept or not swept, at the end, if you lose, you lose. So, doesn't matter how many we win, but we have to go game by game. We're going to believe till the end.
Game by game is how they're taking it. And there's reason to believe when Luka's on your team. He now has five straight 30-point games. When facing elimination to begin his career, the only player with a longer streak is Elgin Baylor. Now he's averaging over 36 points in elimination games. That is the highest by any player in NBA history. What he is doing, simply historic. Bring back in Vince Carter, J.J. Redick with me. And J.J., as you look at this game, what specifically did you see from these Mavericks that enabled them to breathe life back into this series?
Well, you know, I was not very good in statistics in college, despite going to Duke. I really struggled in that class. But yesterday,
name drop.
But yesterday, Vince, I learned about positive regression. We always think of regression to the mean being in a negative way. Last night was a great example of positive regression. The Mavericks in open threes this series were shooting 33% prior to last night. In the previous two series, they were at 46 and 48%. There had to be some positive regression. Last night was the case. They just knocked down threes time and time again. And a lot of this was Luka's playmaking. The Mavs shot 9 for 14 on Luka passes.
And not only that, the Mavs got in the paint a lot more, Vince. They got a lot more rebounds. I mean, this is not quite the Mavs team we had seen in the previous three games. Did they find a cheat code for beating the Warriors beyond shooting? And if so, what was that?
Well, Ryan, here's one of the things I like that Luka has done and is doing. When he gets the ball in his hands sometimes, he tends to take his time up the court. Well, last night we saw he was throwing the ball ahead, allowing his guys to create and make plays for themselves, feel good about themselves. And also, once he got into the half court, he got downhill. He made the right play, and guys start knocking down open shots. You just see catch and shoot, no hesitation. Regardless of what that percentage that JJ just threw out there, regardless of that number, they were shooting the ball with confidence. And as shots started to go in, Luka became harder and harder to guard because now that floor opens up more because those guys are knocking down shots.
Yeah, he really got his guys involved. 30 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. And then on the other side, I don't feel like I saw the same kind of fire from the Warriors, especially defensively. This team has looked unstoppable, JJ. It's like we thought it was a foregone conclusion they would get a sweep, but I don't feel like that's the Warriors we saw show up last night.
It definitely wasn't the Warriors that we've grown accustomed to, and this game was eerily similar to game 5 of the Memphis series. And in that game, they got down by 50. But last night, I think the lead ballooned to around 30. But it was an odd performance in a closeout game for a group that knows how to close out series, knows how important it is to get rest going into the finals. I fully expect them to bounce back in game 5 where they're undefeated at the Chase Center. But it was an odd performance. And I do think with Luka, mm-hmm. because he's so good and he's such a singular force and he creates so much and puts so much pressure on your defense, I do think at times you're playing with fire if you don't close these guys out quickly.
Okay, and Luka even saying there's a chance. You never know, especially with these Mavericks. Vince, what do you think the Warriors need to do to take it away in game 5?
Well, I'm sure in that locker room after game 4, if it wasn't said out loud, the thought comes in, 3-1 lead, losing to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the finals. So they don't want the history to repeat itself. I'm sure they're going to come out hitting first, doing what they need to do in the first quarter to take the Mavs out of it. Because, yes, you do not want a confident, cocky Luka coming into your building, not only scoring, but getting his guys and empowering his guys to play well. To get back to game 6 in Dallas, they don't want that.
Yeah, so on the flip side of this, I know you're saying with Luka they have a chance. What would you need to see from Dallas? I know you're thinking the Warriors will take it. What would you need to see from Dallas for them to win and extend this?
Well, you know, limiting Steph's three-point opportunities, limiting Klay's three-point opportunities, mm-hmm. that's obviously the key anytime you play the Warriors and protecting the rim. But Jay Kidd brought this up after the game. He talked about their ability to break down the Warriors one-on-one. And that just goes to them hunting the right matchups, using Brunson, using Doncic, using Dinwiddie to get in the paint.
Say it.
Doncic, I said it.
Who are they hunting? No.
They're hunting Steph. They're hunting Steph time and time again. And look, they've guarded Bullock with Steph Curry. They've guarded Dorian Finney-Smith mm-hmm. with Steph Curry at times. So whoever his man is, that guy ultimately has to be a good decision maker, has to be able to knock down threes when Steph does show and there's opportunities to shoot the ball. But that's really what it is. Like, let's break this team down one-on-one.
So, Vince,
JJ, to add to that, think about this. That's a formula that the Cleveland Cavaliers used in the finals. They made Steph guard. They tried to beat him up, to get into his legs to affect him offensively because you know how dynamic they are offensively. And Steph can guard. It's just they're trying to hide him, protect him because they know what he can do offensively, meaning Steph. So, you know, that's a formula that you will see them take advantage of hopefully early in the first quarter to give themselves the chance. That'd be the Dallas Mavericks.
We shall see. Mavericks taking it one game at a time, trying to extend this series. Golden State going for the sweep. Thank you, guys. Well, last night's game between the Mavericks and Warriors, along with games played around the country, were played with heavy hearts following the school shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. 19 children, 2 teachers were killed when a teenage gunman opened fire days before summer break was set to start. A moment of silence was held last night before tip-off between Mavericks and Warriors. And before the players took the court, Warriors coach Steve Kerr held his pregame news conference, and he did not want to talk about basketball.
In the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs. You know, come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. You realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check. 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
Kerr has long been outspoken against gun violence. His father was shot dead in a terrorist attack in Beirut in 1984, and he has spent much of his professional life calling for gun law reform. Uvalde, Texas, where the shooting took place, is about 80 miles west of San Antonio. The Spurs released this statement on Twitter, quote, "Uvalde, there are no right words. Our hearts are with you and all of our neighbors impacted by today's horrific shooting." And many athletes took to social media last night to express their outrage. Patrick Mahomes, who's from Texas, tweeted, "Has to stop, man. Prayers to all the families in Texas." And LeBron James tweeting, "My thoughts and prayers go out to the families and loved ones and loved lost and injured at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Like, when is enough enough, man? These are kids, and we are putting them in harm's way at school. Like, seriously, at school, where it's supposed to be the safest." We'll be right back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with you on Get Up and the Thriller of the Night. From baseball, Mets, Giants, Jock Peterson. Man, he starred in this one. Third inning, game tied at one. Runner on first, two outs, and Peterson goes yard. Two-run homer, eighth of the season. Giants take a 3-1 lead. To the bottom of the fifth, Giants up 6-2, runner on first. And Peterson says, you know what? Let's make it deja vu all over again. His second two-run homer of the game. Into the center field netting, his 19th career multi-homer game. Giants take an 8-2 lead. Top of the eighth, Giants now only up by one. Mets roaring back. Francisco Lindor delivers with the bases loaded. Nails one down the third baseline. Peterson gonna misread the ball. Skates right by him. Lindor going to third. Are you gonna go home? Wait a sec. No. Back up. Let's take the triple. Mets take their first lead of the game. Score tied 10-8. Lindor fired up. Bottom of the eighth, Mets up 11-8 now. Peterson, tying run, first and second. He's at the plate, and three-run homer into the cove. Brilliant. First Giants player with three homers in a game since Bonds in 94. Game tied at 11. And then Brandon Crawford, runner on first and second. Base hit, Darren Ruff coming around to score. He is safe. Beats the throw home. Giants win it 13-12 behind Peterson's three homers and eight RBIs. Crushing loss for the Mets. Prior to last night, the Mets were 180-0 all time when scoring at least 12 runs in a game. Teams combined for 37 hits for the game, and over the final three innings, they combined for 15 runs, punctuating the highest scoring day of the baseball season so far. All right, let's go over to the NFL and play a little game of something or nothing. Chris Canty, is it something or nothing that Kyler Murray is not at OTAs?
Oh, it's something, Ryan. We know that Kyler Murray wants a new deal, and he hasn't made any bones about it. He wants to get paid, and the thing that I don't understand is it's not that complicated to get this deal done. We know it's going to be somewhere in a 4 to 5 year extension. for $40 million a year, $80 to $100 million guaranteed. Arizona better stop playing with fire and get this deal done. You don't want to see Kyler hold out or hold in like we saw with Jamal Adams, Jalen Ramsey, or TJ Watt. And you got to get off to a fast start, so you got to get the deal done.
Stop playing games. Booger, something or nothing that Aaron Rodgers isn't at OTAs.
Absolutely nothing. When you're almost 40 years old, you've been playing football in this league almost 20 years. Being at an OTA where we're talking about how to huddle, what the play is, where to line up, for a guy who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, seems a little petty. This is absolutely nothing. I get it. You want to be on a good rapport with your receivers, but Aaron Rodgers should be able to do that once training camp starts.
And then Kmart, something or nothing that Lamar Jackson isn't at OTAs.
Ryan, it's something because, A, we're talking about a QB, and because of his contract status, and because no one seems to know exactly what's going on in Lamar's head. The Ravens want to sign him to a long-term deal. He has not come to the table. And until he gets a deal signed long-term, people are going to question his desire to remain in Baltimore, whether that's right or wrong.
Yeah, and by the way, Lamar Jackson did retweet that the Ravens and say that he can't wait to get back. So there's that. But what do you make of Lamar not being at OTAs?
I don't make much about it because mm-hmm. Lamar has already said that he wants to be in Baltimore long term. So I expect that this deal will get done sooner rather than later. But Lamar Jackson is playing the game because he understands the closer you get to free agency, the more leverage you gain on the organization and the better chance you have at being able to get market value. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. When you have less years remaining on your contract, you're getting the opportunity to maximize your potential and maximize your earning power. That's what this is all about for Lamar Jackson. He's playing the game because barring an unforeseen catastrophic injury that would keep him from ever playing football again, he's going to get his bag.
Okay, now look at this. These are the notable quarterback contracts signed in the offseason. I don't know if you guys saw the graphic beforehand. He's making $23.1 million. That is far off of those guys. Far off. So, Kmart, is there any movement or update on Lamar's contract extension? Because I don't know if this is just about the Ravens, more so than maybe about Lamar also saying, hey, I don't need to do this right now.
Yeah, Ryan, as of now, there is no indication that there's been any movement. But, you know, I've been told that Lamar feels like he's capable of winning a Super Bowl. He wants to stay in Baltimore. And when he's able to do that, that's when he feels like he deserves to get paid. But the interesting thing is I talked to an NFL GM recently who said he actually feels bad for the Ravens because you want to get Lamar signed. He doesn't want to sign a long-term deal. If Lamar gets hurt, and Chris, you understand as a former player, you understand that anything can happen. Leon Washington with the Jets, like anything can happen. If you get hurt, this GM said to me, then you feel bad for the Ravens because they can't pay him. And if they don't pay him, that the optics look terrible because of what Lamar has done to this point. He's a former MVP of this league. So it would just be easier for the Ravens and everybody involved. They want to give Lamar the money. They want to give him the bag. And as of right now, he is not taking it. So that makes this situation, we're going to be looking at this hopefully not too much longer, but if this drags out into the season, this could be potentially serious for the Ravens.
Guys, I'm speechless because I don't understand. And maybe I'm just a very selfish person. That may very well be. But when I can get the money, I take the money. I never feel bad for an NFL franchise. Booger, what am I missing here? Because as I look at this, I say, Lamar, you're seeing these $50 million contracts being signed. If you get hurt, I don't know if that's happening. So why not take the money as much as you can right now before even thinking about stepping back on the field?
Yeah, Ron, I'm with you. I'm going to be selfish also. So if they offer me the bag, I am taking the bag and I am looking, I am moving forward. And I think that's what has us all so puzzled is because they want to pay him. John Harbaugh has come out and said, we are trying to negotiate with him. He hasn't shown that he is ready to engage in negotiations and move on. And so to me, that's the most puzzling thing. I do know this, to your point, Kimberly, that GM is right. If he goes out and he gets hurt this year, they won't be able to pay him. And I think that's something that will be a shame. And I think we all wish Lamar would get this deal done before he steps on the field. And as far as him being at OTAs, I do think he needs to be there. He's not like Aaron Rodgers, where he's mastered this whole downfield passing game and he is just a savant at it. He needs to continue to work at it. So I do think he needs to be there, go through this passing game, because that's really the only thing that's stopping him from being in that same realm with Rodgers, Mahomes, and Brady, is to continue to elevate his offense as far as the passing game is concerned.
That's such a surprising situation. We'll see how it all plays out. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Two of the 22 women accusing Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson of inappropriate sexual contact have gone public with their stories. In an interview with HBO's Real Sports last night, one of the women, Ashley Solis, detailed what happened to her during a massage session with Watson.
He ends up exposing himself, and I hurried up and covered him with the towel, and he said, "Oh, you don't have to worry about the towel." And I said, "Yes, I do."
So then what happened?
He requested that I work on his abdomen. But the moment I went above his navel, he told me he didn't want me to work there. He wanted me to work lower. He just kept directing me to go lower and don't be scared. You can go in there. And I just started really freezing up at this point.
Can you explain that?
Like a wave just took over my body. I felt so hot. I was sweating. It was getting more and more clear that this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I thought the session was going to be.
Two grand juries in Texas have declined to pursue criminal charges, and Watson has denied all wrongdoing. And one of his attorneys reiterated that on Real Sports last night. Now, I want to bring back in Kimberly A. Martin on this one. And Kimberly, you have been covering this story from the very beginning. What was your reaction to the Real Sports interview last night?
It was difficult. As somebody who was in that introductory press conference when Deshaun Watson spoke, it was difficult watching the women watch footage of him talking that day and seeing the emotion on their faces. I think, you know, obviously the two grand juries, like you said, declined to indict him on criminal charges. So there is that. But if you're the Browns, you want to get close. You want to get to football already. But this interview brings everything back into the public sphere again, where we're looking at Deshaun Watson, where we're thinking about the Browns gave this guy $230 million guaranteed, and we are still nowhere closer to a conclusion with this situation.
Yeah, and so many of the women involved in this frustrated at the Browns even giving that deal to Deshaun Watson. What's the latest on the NFL's investigation?
It's been almost a year, Ryan, since Ashley Solis, woman, filed her lawsuit. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, said in Atlanta at the owners' meetings that they are nearing the end of their investigation, but he also gave no indication for a timeline for the disciplinary officer to issue their findings and whether a suspension is looming for Deshaun Watson. The Browns obviously hope that this is rectified and announced by training camp so they know exactly who their week one starter is, but it remains to be seen when the NFL will issue a ruling.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on this story. Kimberly A. Martin is always great in covering this and in following this from the very jump. Appreciate it. Coming up, Deebo Samuel skipped 49ers OTAs to hang out with a superstar quarterback this week. Find out who it was, what it means for his future. And then, Luka and the Mavs are not done yet. Did they just discover the blueprint for beating the Warriors this postseason? Find out what our experts think when we come back on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back with you on Get Up and the game of the night from the NBA, Warriors Mavericks game 4 Western Conference Finals. There's Luka, and he went to work early in the first. Mavs up 3, deep 3 for him. Mavs lead by 4 after 1, and then in the second quarter, Luka attacking and finishing. Mavs up by 15 at the break. In the third quarter, after a little rain delay, a little leaky roof, Game delayed 16 minutes, and the Mavs went at it. Up 20 here, and Doncic backing down Clay. Cuban's happy now. And then watch this. Doncic, Curry going at it, the matchup you want to see, and Doncic hitting the three. Doncic and the Mavs making it rain. You need those umbrellas. Mavs up 29 into the fourth. Got a little close, JJ, but then Luka driving and finishing here.
Yeah, too much Luka and too much threes from the supporting cast. And it didn't matter who was on Luka tonight. He was going to get in the paint and make plays.
Just like he did right there to Dorian Finney-Smith. That impressive pass from Doncic. 30 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. Mavericks win by 10, 119-109. And Curry giving these Mavs respect after the game.
You tipped a hat, you know, your hat to them because they made a lot of shots. We had a couple breakdowns in our zone that gave them easy looks. They made us pay. And we knew to close them out, it's going to be tough. So you got to, you know, strap up in on defense when we go home game five and figure out, you know, how to slow them down, especially in, you know, that first quarter.
Curry wasn't exactly on fire in this one, only had 20 points, but Curry and the four other Warrior starters combined for 58. Their fewest in a playoff game since game three of the 2016 NBA Finals. Good news for Golden State, it heads back home for game five, where it is a perfect 8-0 for the postseason. There's the man getting the curls going with a tennis racket. You should use a little foam brush, man. I'll give you one. Jalen Rose with us this morning.
Good morning, Jalen. Teammates, what up, though?
What up, though?
What up?
Okay, what was your single biggest takeaway from Mavs game four win?
JJ knows this. It was all about pride. When you got one of the top players in the game in Luka, think about it. Going into that game, we're talking about how Wiggins is slowing them down, yet Luka's basically putting up 35 and 40 every game. That's where he ascended to. And for these Mavs, they've already outplayed expectations this season. Once you trade Kristaps Porzingis, you bring in Bertans, you bring in Dinwiddie, a lot of people felt like they were punting on the season, except they were reinvesting in Luka. And so for what they've accomplished all season, what he's accomplished all season, it was good to see Finney-Smith and Bullock make shots. Jalen Brunson has been terrific the entire playoffs. It was good in this series to see Spencer Dinwiddie get going. There's been a lot of growth within this Mavs roster, and they played with pride. That's why they didn't want to get swept on their home floor.
Wow, they sure did. They played. Look, we've been talking about the supporting cast all year, JJ. What did you make of how they performed?
I don't want to distill this down into the simplest thing, but it really comes down to whether or not they make open threes. And we saw in the first two series against the Utah Jazz and the Memphis Grizzlies, they made open threes. Going into last night, they were shooting 33% on open threes. Last night, that was not the case. They knocked down a bunch of threes. Reggie Bullock hit six of them. And I just want to point something out. Jalen just mentioned Andrew Wiggins slowing Luka down. Like, that's fine if that's the narrative. But going into last night, he was shooting well over 50% when Andrew Wiggins was the primary defender.
Slowing him down, relatively speaking, to Luka, yeah, who is just phenomenal. So, Jalen, did the Mavs find the cheat code for beating the Warriors?
They did not find a cheat code, Ryan. You know it. I know it. We all know it. This series will be a gentleman's sweep. The Golden State Warriors will return in the next game and close this thing. The Warriors in the next game will close this thing out.
Okay. And so, JJ, it makes me think. I also saw these Warriors not exactly playing like the Warriors I saw in the first three games, just in terms of effort and enthusiasm.
Well, yeah, it's eerily similar to Game 5 of the Memphis series when they just got absolutely destroyed in Memphis and then came back home and won in Golden State. We've said this a couple times on the show already, but they're 8-0 at home this season. I agree with Jalen here. They will go back to San Francisco and close this series out.
Okay, let's do a little over-under when it comes to this game. And let's say, actually, when it comes to Heat-Celtics, because this is a great series right here. Over-under, and Jalen, I'll start with you. Jimmy Butler gets 24.5 points. Over-under.
In order for me to get a seven-game series, the depleted Miami Heat will need Jimmy Butler to go over 24.5 points. I believe he does tonight. He responds to a pedestrian game in Boston.
Okay, so he comes back with the response. JJ, Jalen Brown, 2.5 threes, over under.
I'm going to take the over on this after a big game three when he scored 40 He didn't have a great game four despite Boston winning. You know, he was 5 for 20. So it's one of these things. He's due. He's going to knock down three or more threes.
Yeah, and then there comes the big question for the man everybody's calling a superstar, Jason Tatum. Jaylen, over under 28.5 points.
I think he plays well a complete game. I appreciate how he's improved defensively. But I think the under on this one, 28.5 is a lot. And I know that, again, he's a terrific scorer, and it was great to see him have his moments where he took off. He's been getting 20 points in the first half seemingly every game. But I say he goes under on this one.
Goes under. Okay, that's interesting because here's the thing. Tatum's averaging 29 points per game in Boston's two wins in this series, nearly 10 points higher than his average in the two losses. And then turnovers has been a big key for this guy, too, as he's turned it over twice as much in the losses to Miami. So, Jaylen, Jason Tatum, he's, look, relatively speaking, if he's an average guy, 19 points or so a game, and a bunch of turnovers may happen in the playoffs. But this version of Jason Tatum, the superstar, hot and cold throughout these playoffs. Which version do you expect to see tonight in Game 5?
I expect him to play really well. I just anticipate that the Heat are going to be up for the challenge. And he has ascended as an elite player, a top 10 caliber player. Anytime you play the way he did against the Nets and the way he did against the Bucks, and even in this series, he's shown flashes of that brilliance. But Wilbon always reminds me, it's tough for a great player in a series to have 6 or 7 great games. That's why we applaud Luka, because he's one of those guys that seems to be able to do that. But for Jason Tatum, I anticipate the Heat will win. So looking at those numbers, 29 points in wins, 19 points in losses, we'll do what I call split the baby, and the Miami Heat find a way to win.
Okay, Luka is making our superstar bar too high, I guess. So, JJ, these differences between these games for Tatum, I wonder what you see in terms of bad Jason Tatum. What makes him not have those transcendent games versus the good games?
Yeah, I think it comes down to decision-making. I talked about this before the series. The best version of Jason Tatum is good shot selection, is knowing when to pass and be a playmaker, knowing when to drive. The bad version, as we saw in Game 3 with the turnovers, is driving into heavy traffic, not having a plan, not passing the ball on time and on target, and taking bad shots. Here's the thing, though. We are going to get first-team All-NBA Jason Tatum. Like, that who is who he is. I'm going to say that again. First-team All-NBA Jason Tatum. And, yes, he's allowed to have off-shooting nights. To me, it comes down to the turnovers. That's where it's an issue. If we look back at that Bucks series, Game 3, which they lost, he had 10 points. He bounced back with 30, 34, 46, 23, 8, and 7 in a closeout game. Let's not have this narrative where Jason Tatum is all of a sudden this inconsistent player. He is first-team All-NBA Jason Tatum.
First-team All-NBA Jason Tatum is who you expect to see Game 5.
Absolutely.
Do we have time to turn to the Heat? Because I got to turn to the Heat for a second here. The other part of this is Jimmy Butler, because he's been extreme in these playoffs. Jaylen, you know, it's first two games, otherworldly, possibly best player in the playoffs. Last two games had the knee issue, but still, this is not the Jimmy Butler we were used to seeing. What do we need to see tonight for the Heat to get the W from Butler?
They're going to need him to be terrific offensively and to continue to mix up his game. Get steals, get out in transition, get easy ones. Continue to work the mid-range on the post. Get to the free throw line. That's where Jimmy Butler's at his best. But as we continue to talk about Jimmy Butler, and he does need to step up, clearly, and we're talking about Jason Tatum, the elephant in the room for me is the lack of productivity, in particular in losses, of Bam Adebayo. In the previous series, he had his two highest scoring games when Embiid was out. In this series, he had his best game, Game 3, when Robert Williams III was out. In Game 3, he had as many points, rebounds, and assists basically as he did total in Games 1, 2, and 4. So they're going to need Bam also to be productive, to be aggressive, and to understand that there's a sense of urgency tonight, because obviously, in my opinion, if they lose tonight, they're going to lose two in a row and go home for the season.
Jaylen, I'm so glad you brought this up, because yes, Jimmy Butler has got to be better than he was in Game 4. But Bam, to me, is the key for the Heat to win this series and to eventually contend for a championship. If we go back to 2020 in the Eastern Conference Finals against these very Celtics, Bam led them in points, rebounds, assists, steals. I mean, look at those numbers. Ooh. 22 and 11. And we got that version once so far in this series, and that was in game three. So as good as Jimmy Butler has been at times and as good as he needs to be for this team to win, the key for the Heat, to me, is the aggressive version of Bam that we saw in game three and that we saw in 2020.
Okay, so let's get picks for tonight.
And when we were talking about Tatum... I'm sorry, when we were talking about Tatum, he and Bam, JJ, have something in common to me. Both of them need to play with force and through contact. Jason Tatum was looking at the refs to bail him out too much early in the series. And for Bam, I want to make sure I give credit to Robert Williams III and for Al Horford because they were physically dominant in the paint, changing shots, blocking shots, getting deflections. Bam was treating that paint sometimes like it had an electronic fence around it, and he didn't want to go in there. He got to be more physical.
Let me get in this game. I want to make sure I get this in. I want to get our quick picks. JJ, who you got for game five?
I got Celtics tonight. Yep.
Celtics. Okay. They're 1.5-point favorites, by the way, on the road. Jalen, who you got?
I'm going with the home team. We need a 7-game series. Miami gets it done tonight. Bam plays great.
The Heat keep getting disrespected. I'm picking them too. Heat, deliver. Give us a 7-game series. We'll see how this all plays out. And by the way, we're going to have game five of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Heat tonight, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN in the app. Series tied at 2 apiece. The Countdown crew gets things started at 7:30 Eastern. Over to hockey, Stanley Cup playoffs, game four, Hurricanes, Rangers. Got a little tense at the end of game three. Max Domi, Ryan Lindgren mixing it up. So halfway through the first, no score. Max Domi, watch, he's got the puck, and he gets run over by Jacob Trouba. Trouba and Steve Lorenz drop the gloves. They start fighting, but look at that hit. Oh, near the head as he's falling. Domi pleading to the refs, but Lorenz gets an extra penalty for instigating, and then watch this. Frank Vetrano going to take it in for the score. Vetrano, his third goal of the playoffs. Rangers go up 1-0. Later in the second, Rangers on the rush. Ryan Lindgren's going to shoot it. It's going to trickle. Not quite in, so Mika Zibanejad rushes the net to put it in for the goal. Zibanejad crashing the net, getting his fifth goal of the playoffs. Rangers up 3-0. And then Rangers up 4-1. Time expiring. Ryan Reeves, Max Domi getting at it. Exchanging slashes. They yap at each other. Need to be held back. Tensions running high. But good feelings running high on the Rangers side. They win it 4-1 and tie the series up at 2-2. We're going to have game five of the Eastern and Western Conference semifinals tomorrow night on ESPN in the app. Our coverage of Rangers Hurricanes starts at 7 Eastern, followed by the Oilers and Flames. Coming up, Deebo Samuel spent part of this weekend hanging out with a superstar quarterback. Did the 49ers wide receiver find himself the perfect trade partner? We shall see. We'll be back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back. Meanwhile, on Planet Earth is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Check this out. Tom Brady seen here taking batting practice. And guess who's shagging fly balls? Gronk. Remember, Brady was drafted by the Expos in 1995 as a catcher. What do you think?
I mean, is there anything that Tom Brady can't do? I mean, the guy is just so impressive. Everything that he touches turns to gold. If he wants to get into film and documentaries, he comes up with the man in the arena, or he comes up with time versus time. If he wants to dabble in the fashion industry or sports casting, the guy comes up with a $300 million contract. Is there anything that Tom Brady is actually bad at?
Right now, it may be not getting Rob Gronkowski back on the team, but maybe that's the sales pitch right there.
There
we'll sack fly balls all offseason. It'll be great. We don't have to go to camp or anything. Jimmy G, by the way, he's not at OTAs as he recovers from shoulder surgery, which he had at the beginning of March. That has put a pause on his trade talks. But head coach Kyle Shanahan does not expect Jimmy G to be on his roster this season. Take a listen.
Nothing's changed since his surgery. You know, we were where we were at before that, and then he got the surgery, so everything went on hold. I expect him at some time, most likely to be traded, but who knows? It's not a guarantee, and it's been exactly on hold when that happened, and when he's healthy, we'll see what happens.
Expect him to be traded. I like the candid nature there, but Booger, why should the 49ers want to trade him?
Well, I get it. I truly understand when you invest the type of draft capital in Trey Lance and you want to put him on the field. I understand that. But let's not forget, Jimmy Garoppolo has been a really, really good quarterback. And if Trey Lance is not ready, why would you trade a quarterback that's won 70? And I did say 70% of his ball games and averaged 28 points when he started and been on the football field. So I wouldn't necessarily be in a hurry to trade him. And this whole shoulder injury is probably a blessing in disguise because it pushed things back. And if this lingers into training camp, where now we're talking about late July, early August, and Jimmy G is still in the 49ers and Trey Lance struggles, don't be surprised if the 49ers keep Jimmy Garoppolo, because it's hard to find a franchise quarterback, especially one that's proven and won and been to a Super Bowl and is one throw away from winning a world championship.
Keep him. What do you think?
Well, listen, if Trey Lance isn't ready, it's either an indictment on a coaching staff or an indictment on a scouting department. Either way, somebody getting fired. So my whole situation is this. You invested that much draft capital in Trey Lance, give him an opportunity to play. Even if he struggles, you got to understand that that is your future. Now, as far as the attributes go or from a skills perspective, I think Trey Lance does bring more variety to the 49ers offense. Think about those Mike Shanahan-led teams when he had John Elway, when he had Jake Plummer, when he had Jay Cutler, or when he had RG3. One of the staples was the boot action off of the stretch zone. Kyle Shanahan hadn't had that since he left the Washington at the time, Redskins. So it's a situation now where I think Trey Lance has the potential to take this offense to the next level. It's just a matter of him getting the reps and building his confidence, and that is the task that Kyle Shanahan is charged with this offseason and this training camp.
See, Kmart, what is such a catch-22 for this organization, because on the one hand, you are a championship-caliber team. And when's the last time we saw a championship-caliber team move on for their quarterback and say, let's put in a guy who's played a couple games, we don't really know what we have, and hopefully we'll get the same result?
Yeah, you know, I actually agreed with Boog from the standpoint of who your starting quarterback is key, but also who your backup is paramount. And I think the Baltimore Ravens were a good example of that last year because of injury. But what people keep saying to me when I bring that up, they should just keep Jimmy Garoppolo. Don't move him. They say if you start with Trey Lance, you cannot go back to Jimmy, because then you kind of have the Tua situation where you've got the Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in off the bench. No. Now it's Tua. Now it's like, what is the guy doing? And I understand Boog doesn't care about feelings. Boog is not concerned about how quarterbacks, how their mentals are right now. But it is important in the development of a young quarterback that when they're given the reins, they know that the reins just won't be snatched and they'll never see them again. They have to have that confidence. And there's a reason they moved up to get Trey Lance. And Cantu's talking about somebody's going to get fired if this doesn't work. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan were the two guys who made this call. People in the building weren't even sure up until the draft who were they were taking. So if this does not pan out, look at the head coach and the GM. But they are confident Trey Lance can be the guy going forward.
Okay, real quick, Booger, I look at this, and the whole you don't care about feelings thing, I just want to put this out there. If Jimmy Garoppolo is still on that team and Trey Lance struggles, what do the players in the locker room feel? Do they care about feelings, seeing as though this might be their shot at a title?
No, players in the locker room just want to play the best guy, and Kenny knows this. We understand the politics of football and where you were drafted. You're going to be given every opportunity to succeed, but at the same time, we watch practice. Like, we're there. We're watching every throw, every drill. We're seeing who has commanded the football team. We all see that. And if you put a guy on the field based on draft position and not production, that is the quickest way to lose morale in a football team. And if you're the 49ers and you're going to go with Trey Lance, the best thing you can do is move on from Jimmy Garoppolo before training camp starts. Because if training camp starts and Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance are on the same field, from what I understand and what I've seen last year, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to run circles around Trey Lance, and that is a problem. Their best bet is to put all their eggs in Trey Lance's basket and put him on the field and move Jimmy Garoppolo before training camp starts. Because currently, what I've seen, Jimmy is a better quarterback than Trey Lance. Now, he has to go on and show that coming into training camp, and so they need to move him before they get on the field, not after.
Okay, real quick before we go, I just want to get onto this. Deebo Samuel, because this got really interesting. You've seen it at the Mavericks game. Look at that. Loving it up with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb. What do you think, Chris? Something or
look
nothing
like Jai, they look good.
That
could be his quarterback. That could be his quarterback, as one Dallas Cowboys receiver once famously said about Tony Romo. No, here's the thing, man. I think Deebo would be a great fit for the Dallas Cowboys. Their offense could use a playmaker like him. They moved on from Amari Cooper. Cedric Wilson left in free agency. We're talking about Zeke being at the end in terms of the production and seeing his best days. And then, of course, Tony Pollard is going to be a free agent in 2023. They could absolutely use another playmaker, another guy that Dak Prescott can raise up, throw the ball to on a five-yard route, and a guy can house it. Deebo Samuels, he was in the top 10 in yards after catch. Matter of fact, he was the only receiver that was in the top 10 yards
after
catch.
Oh, that team would be dangerous with him. First take, by the way, top of the hour. They're talking basketball. Should the Warriors be concerned after their Game 4 performance? Join Molly, Stephen A., J.J. Redick, and Chris Mad Dog Russo on First Take.
Delicious, meet nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Sunday morning, we'll have the most famous race on the Formula One circuit. All the glitz and glamour of the Monaco Grand Prix. Our coverage begins 7:30 Eastern with Grand Prix Sunday, and the race starts at 9 a.m. Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Okay, Chris Canty, Game 5, Eastern Conference Finals, Heat Celtics. Team that wins Game 5, tied 2-all, wins the series 82% of the time. Who you got?
I'm going with the Boston Celtics. And listen, they're the more talented team, and Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, Jimmy Butler, not sure about his health situation.
I'm going with the Heat. Game on.
We'll see.
Have yourself a good day. First Take starts now.